Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa amma ba'd fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim ya ayyuhalladhina amanu idha qumtum ilas salati faghsilu wujuhakum wa aydiyakum ilal marafiqi wamsahu bi ru'usikum wa arjulakum ilal ka'bayn subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin allahumma salli ala sayyidina muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina muhammad wa barik wa sallim. If you recall, we've covered in detail the fara'id of wudu, the sunan of wudu, the etiquettes of wudu, and also those things that are makruh in the wudu. And so now what we're going to move to is put all these things together. So the initial discussion, that was a legal discussion, ranking things. No, but we don't usually sit and rank things. Is this fara', is this sunnah, is this not sunnah? Then the goal is to actually perform the proper wudu each and every time. The fara'id are definitely something you should know, because there may be some times in your life where you may not have enough water. Then you're going to want to do only the four mandatory acts, which were, if you remember, washing the hands up to the elbows once, washing the face once, wiping the head 1/4 of it, and washing the feet up to the ankles once. If you ever got in a situation like you're out with your friends camping and there's no water available and you need to perform wudu, you cannot go to tayammum if you have enough water to perform the fara'id of wudu. Tayammum means doing wudu with dirt or the earth. You can't just jump to tayammum because you don't have enough to perform the whole wudu. It's based on the farad. If you have enough water to perform the farad, then you have to perform the farad and you don't go to tayammum because you have a way out. That's why it's important to know the fara'id. Once you've established the fara'id, which is why I tell everybody, you should memorize this ayah. The ayah that I recited in the beginning, that has all the fara'id in there, listed in that ayah. So once you memorize the ayah and you learn the fara'id that way, then that shows you the minimum wudu, and then you need to know what the maximum wudu is, or what the proper wudu is in the average circumstance when you have both time and water available. That's what we want to cover right now. So the very first thing when you're going to make wudu is obviously you have to confirm that you have pure water. And we talked about water in detail, and anybody who needs to can refer back to the very, very first lecture, which was basically a discussion of water and how the Sharia classifies water as pure and when it becomes impure. Once you've assumed that you have pure water, then, for example, let's say you're in the washroom where you're going to turn the faucet on. When you turn the faucet on, if you remember, we want to avoid wasting water. So when you turn the faucet on, you want to turn it on slowly. You don't want to turn it full blast because the water is just going to pour out and you'll be wasting all that water. So you turn it on slowly, and after you turn it on, you want to make sure, well actually before you turn it on, you want to make sure that you're actually facing the Qibla. That's one of the things that you want to try to do. Unfortunately, in this day and age, you don't have that choice if you're using a sink, because the sink usually faces a particular direction. But if, for example, you're taking your water in a little container and you're outside, let's say you're on a camping trip, then make an intention to find the direction of the Qibla and make wudu facing the Qibla, because that's one of the mustahab acts. And we went into detail about the benefits of the Qibla in a previous lesson. Then you'll actually say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And remember, we explained that every act that has the ibadin, that is of significance, should always be started with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Because one, it draws barakah into the act, and two, it attaches and returns the fact that everything of the act is essentially in the name of Allah. There's no other way you could have done that act. Your body was created by Allah, the water was created by Allah, the ground you're standing on was created by Allah, so in the end, everything is in the name of Allah. So we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and then we make the intention. And the intention can be something like this: I intend to perform wudu in order to purify myself according to the commandments of Allah and in His name. So that's the kind of intention you want to make. Basically, you want to focus your heart to the fact that you're doing this for the sake of Allah and only because Allah commanded it. That's pretty obvious. We're not going to go and wash our body parts the way we do except because Allah commanded it. And there's only one exception, and that's when you're in the shower. It so happens when you get in the shower that all the body parts inherently become washed. And so the niyyah plays a central role when you're in the shower. And as a review, if you take a bath in the morning and you have no niyyah for wudu, your wudu still occurs. It allows you to touch the Qur'an, and it allows you to pray. But you did not receive the reward. Because in order to get the reward for an act, you have to have the niyyah that it was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you've said Bismillah, and you're ready to begin. The very first thing you do is you wash your hands to your wrists 3 times. And the purpose of that is when you wash your hands, you're actually purifying these hands. And like we stated in earlier lessons, these hands are going to be the tools by which you'll wash the rest of your arms, wash your face, wipe your head, and wash your feet. So you need to purify the tool before you begin. Then you'll rinse the mouth to the back of the throat 3 times. When you're rinsing your mouth, preferably before, you'll take a miswak and you'll brush your teeth as well. There's a big debate as to when is the best time to do the miswak. Some of the hadith say at the time of each prayer, and other hadith say at the time of each wudu. And we talked about the fact that continuous use of the miswak is a great sunnah, but there's a debate between Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam al-Shafi'i as to whether the miswak should be used at the time of wudu or at the time of salah. Imam Abu Hanifa feels that the best time to use the miswak is at the time of wudu. And Imam Shafi'i says the best time is at the time of salah. Also keep in mind that if you don't have a brush, it's sunnah to actually use your fingers or a cloth to clean your teeth at that time. So once you've washed your mouth, then you'll actually put water to the back of your nose or to the soft bone of your nose, and you'll put it in with the right hand and take it out with the left hand. And you'll do that 3 times. And actually the same is true for the mouth, in the sense that you'll put the water in with the right hand. So remember that the Prophet ﷺ gave preference to the right hand, except in a few acts, for example, using the washroom, you use the left hand, and there's a few other cases. But basically, you want to use the right hand as the dominant hand throughout the wudu. So you've washed the mouth 3 times to the back of the throat, you've washed the nose 3 times to the soft bone. Be careful during the month of Ramadan in each of these acts, because if you push it too far, you can end up swallowing the water, which is potentially detrimental to your fast. What's really beautiful about the wudu, if you think about the rules of water, actually come in here as well. So really, everything we've done up till now is not mandatory in the wudu. And in a sense, it's a preparation for the wudu. So what did we do? We turned the water on, we put the water in our mouth, and we put the water in our nose. 3 things occurred in our interaction with water. 1, we saw the water. 2, we tasted the water. And 3, we smell the water by putting it in our nose. And those are the exact 3 principles that have to be intact, or the 3 characteristics that have to be intact in order to make sure that water is pure. So in essence, the wudu itself appreciates the ruling of water and highlights and reminds you that these are the 3 characteristics. So you should never forget. You turn the water on, you see the water. You put the water in your mouth, you've tasted the water. You put the water in your nose, you've smelled the water. The 3 essential characteristics of water are now there, and now you actually enter into the wudu. In a way, the Sharia is so beautifully connected. I mean, the way these components come together sometimes, you just have to say subhanAllah. It's just beautiful the way that it comes together. Then you actually begin the actual mandatory acts of the wudu. The very first act is you wash the face. So what you'll do is you'll take the water and wash your face, and make sure that you get the complete face wet with water. Recall that the face is defined as from the hairline to the chin this way, and from between both ears this way. So you've got to get this entire area. If you have an area of your face that's covered by thick hair, then the hair becomes as if it's the face. So you're not going to dig into your eyebrows, you're just going to wash over it. And if you have a beard where you can't see the skin underneath, you'll just wash over the beard. If there's an area where you have a beard where skin is visible, for example, in somebody's beard where skin may be visible, let's say up here, you have to wash the skin underneath. You'll wash the face 3 times. After you wash the face 3 times, then it's also sunnah to do khilal of the beard, like put your fingers through the beard 3 times. Now, we get to the hand. So you'll wash the hands, including the elbow, 3 times. Remember, the first time was farad, and the next 2 are sunnah. You'll do 3 total. When you wash your hands, you want to make sure that you intersperse your fingers between the fingers of the hand. And this is called khilal. So you'll go like this after you've washed your hands to make sure that you've got every space in between the webs of your fingers. The other thing that you want to be careful of when you're washing your hands is, especially for women, if they're wearing nail polish, or if a man is wearing a ring, or if a woman is wearing a ring, the water has to reach underneath both of those objects. So if you have a ring, you got to move it around if it's tight enough to block your skin. And if you're a woman wearing nail polish, you got to remove the nail polish beforehand, because nail polish is water resistant. It repels water. It does not allow water to touch the surface of the fingernail. And touching the surface of the fingernail is mandatory part of wudu. According to the ayah of the Quran, the whole hand up to the elbow has to be washed with water. The next thing that you're going to do is you're going to wet both hands and you're going to wipe the head. So you'll make the following figure with your hand, exactly like this. So what you do then is you take these three fingers. So the way I've put my hands together is I've separated my thumb and I've separated my ring finger. Is this the ring finger?
Yes.
Index finger. I've separated my thumb and I've separated my index finger. Well, we should just call it the tashahud finger. That's better. So I've separated my thumb and my tashahud finger, and I've left the other three fingers together. And then I'll take the palm aspect of my hand, the inner aspect of my hand, the three fingers that are together, I'll wipe them over my head like this. Remember, this is a sunnah, to go from the front of the hairline all the way over the top of the head to the back of the hairline. So you'll go like this with the three fingers, and then it's sunnah to take the palms and come back forward on your head over the sides, over the temple. Then you've got these fingers left. Now you've used up the water on this part of the hand. Now you've got this left. You've got your tashahud finger and your thumb. So with your tashahud finger and your thumb, with the tashahud finger you'll wipe the inside of your ear, and with the thumb you'll wipe the back of the ear. Now you've used up all the water on your palm. You have no more fresh water in your palm to use to clean anything. So the last thing is the water left on the back of your hand. You'll take the back of your hand and wipe the back of your neck.